again bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together, enjoy friendship, fellowship, but also to evolve ourselves as a congregation in worship. I know sometimes when we have company with us, there's an outline in the bulletin. Ask my brethren to look around, make sure everyone has one. You'd like to follow along with the lesson. You don't have to, but I assume you want to follow along. The lesson comes from the text that was read to us this morning. Story of, many times we emphasize the conversion of Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. But the focus of our study this morning is Ananias in the lesson. Ananias. But sometimes when we read Bible stories and read about Bible people, we think there's something extra special. We might think they're a little bit different from you and me. Maybe we think, oh, they have stronger faith. Oh, they have probably a deeper conviction. Maybe more help than what's available to us. Well, and the result is we sometimes think that, well, here I am just ordinary. I can never measure up. But when we take a closer look, especially in our lesson today, we see like that they're just like you and me. One of those people that was just like you and me is Ananias. Ananias in the story. See, God wanted a task done. Called upon this man to do it. Saul of Tarsus has an encounter with the Lord on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, God's people. He sees the light, as we say. He's helped by his disciples into Damascus. And God said that it'll be told you what you must do. So now he's waiting for what the Lord will do next. Now the Lord sends Ananias to him. Now in the scripture that was read to us this morning, it was the scripture of how Paul makes his defense before the Jewish tribunal on how his conversion came about. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, here's the story itself. So now we go back to the actual event. So in Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, it says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest. He asked letters from him, the high priest, to go to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, meaning Christianity, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Well, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, Lord? The Lord said, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord said to him, rise and go into the city. It'll be told you what you must do. The men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. So then Saul rose from the ground. When his eyes were opened, he saw no one. They led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now, here's our story today. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, rise, go to the street called Straight. Inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has sent a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered the Lord, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from chief priests to bind everyone who calls on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Ananias went, verse 17, Ananias went his way, entered the house. Laying hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. Remember when the vision came to Ananias, or to Saul, said, "You go to Damascus and it'll be told you what thou must do." Having been told what he must do, he receives his sight and he was baptized. Verse 19, so when he received food, he was strengthened. Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So at first glance, Ananias looks like another hero of faith, as we say. But again, a closer look, he's just like you and like me. I've listed four ways, four observations in your notes this morning. First thing, we note that Ananias was a willing disciple or servant. He was real willing. Lord speaks and he says, "Behold, I'm here, Lord. You almost hand up and count on me." The attitude, "I'm ready and I'm willing. You speak and I listen." Ananias has the attitude that we have, "God, if you command, I'll obey. God, if you send, I'll go. I'm ready. Call me. Call on me." Well, that's like many of us, isn't it? We say someone asks us to help and we say, "Sure." Sometimes we add, "What do you need?" Or, "Yes, I can help you, but what is it?" But we want to be helpers. You just say, "Hey, can you come over?" "Well, sure I can." "When?" Well, then we want more information. "When?" We want to do right. We want to assist those in need. And when we're not asked, we sometimes say, "Why didn't you ask me?" We want to be helpers. We sometimes say, if we weren't asked, we say, "Why didn't you call on me?" Call me when you need me. I'm standing by. We're just like Ananias many times. Lord speaks, hand goes up. "I'm ready. I'm willing." But now the next thing is, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Uh-oh. Oh, we're like Ananias at the start. "Lord, here I am. I'm here." But second, you note Ananias was a little hesitant. Now he begins to back off. Because Ananias answers the Lord when he says, "Go see Saul." He says, "I've heard many things about this man. A lot of evil he's been doing to the brethren at Jerusalem. He has authority from the chief priests to arrest all those that call on your name. Now you want me to go to him?" So now the objections come. "You want me to do what? This man that's here to harm people like me, You want me to, Lord, you want me to walk into his place and put myself in harm's way? Is that what you want me to do, Lord? So here Ananias, at first, my hand's up. Lord, here I am. Putting that hand back down. You want me to do what? Well, I'm a little hesitant. Well, we can see ourselves in that situation, can't we? I love and trust the Lord. I present myself before him. Then I hear what the request is. Uh-oh. And when I hear what the obligation is on my part, I begin to make my objections. And I think, God, maybe you don't know this about me. My objections are, God, let me tell you a little bit about what's going on in my life. And let me tell you why I can't do what you want me to do. And God, I think you should change the request. Sometimes that's our attitude. I'll back off. Well, you want me to do what? Remember, it started out, my hands up. Here I am, Lord. I put in your notes, Moses was like that too. Familiar story in the Old Testament. Moses was out in the wilderness and God comes to him out of the midst of a burning bush. God speaks in Exodus 3 verse 4 and calls his name and Moses, here I am. Just like Ananias. I'm here, Lord. And then God gives a request to Moses in Exodus 3 verse 10. He says, come now therefore and I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. Ooh, no. Not Pharaoh. So Moses begins to present his objections. I object. But first, Moses said, here I am. No, not so quick. Not so quick. In verse 11 of Exodus chapter 3, Moses objects and says, who am I that I should go? Now, why are you sending me? But God answers his objection. He says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. So Moses, but in verse 13 it says, but what shall I say? Because sometimes we're thinking, oh, God wants us to go and talk to a neighbor or associate or something else, and we want to preach the gospel. We think, I don't know what to say. Well, verse 13 says, thou shalt say. God told him exactly what to say. Moses said, well, that's not enough. In chapter 4, verse 1, Moses said, oh, they'll not believe me. They'll not hearken to my voice. And they're going to say, oh, the Lord didn't appear to you. And then God does a miraculous thing for Moses. Convinces him. Moses still hesitates, just like Ananias. Moses has already presented three arguments why I don't want to go. So verse chapter 4, verse 10. Oh Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm not either. But God says, I'll be with your mouth. Every objection that Moses presents, God says, I have an answer for that. Same way with Ananias. God, I've heard many things about this man. He's going to hurt me if I go. God says, wait a minute, I've called this man. And he's going to work for me. Oh. God tells us to do something, and we, just like Ananias, starts out number one, my hands up, call me. Lord, send me. But then in Acts 2, verse 38, when Peter said, repent and be baptized, and God requires us to do the same thing, our hand sometimes comes back down. And we want to object, and we want to say, oh God, there must be another way. Repent and be baptized. God, the majority of the people don't do that. And they're religious. And now you want me to repent and be baptized. No. We get hesitant. Or God says, love and pray for those who persecute you. I say, I don't want to love and pray for them. They hurt me. Hand goes back down. And the list could go on. We could preach about the value of Bible class. Lord, here I am. Oh, 10 Bible. Oh, bring that hand back down. Let me hide that hand. Not so easy to go back up. You know, if I attend Bible class, I've got to get here an hour earlier. Either that, or if I get up on regular time, I'm going to have to work a little bit faster getting ready. Oh. But we first start out, Lord, here I am. You want me to do what? Oh, not so fast. You want me to serve? Oh, no. Here I am. You want me to minister? No, don't do that either. Here I am, Lord. You want me to lend a hand? Oh, no. Can't do that. Here I am, Lord. You want me to visit? No, can't do that. No. I'm going to do that. Here I am, Lord. Oh, you want me to sacrifice my time and talent? Oh, no, not so fast. Not so fast. We're just like Ananias. We can relate to him. But then number three, Ananias was obeying. In verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered into the house. See, the Lord replied to all of Ananias' objections. He's a chosen vessel. The Lord convinced Ananias the task would benefit many people. Hand goes back up. Oh. Okay. So in short, God says, Ananias, my hand is in this. And it needs to be done. So Ananias' hand goes back up. Okay. All the objections are answered. God, it's interesting, did not write Ananias off. Gave him another opportunity to serve. Even after the objections, God said, Ananias, I still want you to go. Still want you to go. And that's an important observation for you and me. After all of our objections, after we've made our plea on why we can't do something that we know we should do. It's obvious, very clear, without a doubt. Why? No matter how long we argue, whether it's months or years or decades, God still says go. God still says obey. That's the great part of the story, is that after the objections, Ananias went to Saul. This man that Ananias knows can hurt him. Imagine Ananias knocking on the door. I don't know what to expect. Ananias might be thinking, he's going to arrest me. He's going to put me in jail. All those objections again. He's going to kill me. I'm on his list. I'm a disciple. But Ananias had the courage to obey, to trust the Lord, and to do what God says. That's an illustration for you and for me. We may say to ourselves, Brian, I know you've been preaching that, Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, I know, Brian, no one has left out. You've told me that over and over again. The way one comes to God and receives forgiveness, everyone has to come the same way. But you know, no one else in my family has done that. I'd be the first. Okay, be the first. Be the first. Take the courage, break the tradition. It's what God is asking you to do. And remember, this all started out, your hand up. Lord, here am I. You can count on me. Oh, you want me to do what? Oops. The objections are answered, hand goes back up. Okay, I'll do it. Number four is Ananias was blessed because he obeyed. Verses 17 and 18, Ananias comes in and says, Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared to you in the way that you came has sent me. We're together in this. And then Saul receives his sight and arose and was baptized. Ananias told him what he must do. And that's the way the story started. Ananias, Saul, you go to Damascus, you'll meet a man, and he will tell you what you must do. And remember in the text that was read to us, when Paul, now the Apostle Paul, retells his conversion story. Ananias said to him in Acts 22, verse 16, it's recorded, Ananias said, "Why are you waiting? Why do you tarry? What are you holding back for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Well, that's what he wanted. Wash away my sins. Imagine the look on Ananias' face when Saul obeys. But it had to be a startled reflex. Now he requests to be baptized. This attacker of Christians surrenders and is baptized. Amazing. But like Ananias, we need to see God's hand in our work. I put a note in your notes. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who's Apollos? Who are Paul and Apollos? Just ministers? Like Ananias. We just do what we're supposed to do. We just put ourselves in place to preach the gospel. We've listened to the obligation. And say, this is what I must do, and not be like Moses, our list of objections. I'm not even eloquent. Just do it. Just go. So who is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. Paul said, I planted. Oh, but Apollos watered. But it was God who gave the increase. We just go about our task. We just do what God says. We trust. We obey. That's what Ananias finally did. He did what God wanted, but he had to know that it wasn't just him. Saul, the Lord that appeared to you, appeared to me and has sent me to you. Hey. He experienced success because he trusted God and obey. And that's when we find success. When we are a person of faith who acts upon it. So don't dismiss your ability, your talent, your obligation. Just preach that word and minister to others. Do more than just listen to what the task is. Hopefully your objections are answered. Then last, I want to say, if you're not a Christian, you need to do the same as Saul did in this story. Stop the objections and trust and obey. You know what to do if you're not a Christian. A simple plan, a formula. We say this at the close of every lesson. A list of ingredients, if you will. But number one, you need to hear the good news. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you've not heard? That's sensible. I can understand that. How can you believe in someone you've not heard? So number two, after you've heard the good news message that God so loved the world, then you'll need to believe that message. Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God, you have to come to God, must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. So you need to believe. Then number three, you'll want to repent because Jesus said it. In Luke chapter 13 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. So the simple plan or formula or steps, if you will, we need to hear the good news, the amazing grace of God's that message, gracious, merciful message. Believe it. Turn our life toward God. confess our faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son, as the Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8. When Peter or Philip preaches to him Jesus, a Jesus sermon. And the Ethiopian says, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized. How did you get the know to be baptized out of a Jesus sermon? Ethiopian, how did you get that conclusion? Because when you preach Jesus, you preach baptism. So he said, if you believe, Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip said, stop the chariot. In fact, the Bible says he commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. Both come up out of the water and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If you're here this morning and not a member of the New Testament church, I'm asking you to do what Saul of Tarsus did. I've tried to accomplish my task of Ananias in giving you the message. But now you need to respond the way that Saul did and be baptized. We sing this song of encouragement. So let's stand together and we'll sing this song as Dennis leads it.